And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked a dear friend of the ministry, Pastor Matt First from Custer, South Dakota, to be a guest on this week's program. Pastor Matt, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
I look forward to our visits every time we can get together. There was an image that Donald Trump posted on his Truth Social page. That was the impetus behind my article for the May newsletter, as well as this program, and I reached out to Pastor Matt because it's a very disturbing image. Have you seen it, Matt?
You're talking about Trump dressed up like a doctor with glowing hands?
That's the one. Or,
yeah, he said it was a doctor. I think it looked a lot like Jesus. And, yeah, so that didn't go over very well. And so then, of course, there was the apology the day later or the explanation. No, I just thought I looked like a doctor healing someone with everyone around praising him. And what was most troubling was the angelic or demonic type figures that were in the shadows above his head. And even if someone else posted it for him, one of his staffers, it's still pretty out of tune with his base, out of touch with reality, and but it fits his ego. And it's alarming that that even got its way, that made its way onto the internet from Truth Social.
Exactly. So the program today is, could Trump be the Antichrist? And I think it's a very relevant question to ask when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And we were told that the Antichrist is going to be this eloquent speaker, this persona that has magnetism, and the fact that he's basically been elected to the White House three times kind of exemplifies that, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think Trump is the Antichrist or the man of sin that the Bible refers to, but he certainly is working for him. And he certainly is paving the way, just as the other world leaders have been doing. But I can understand why people might think so. What he's doing and the way he's talking is definitely as arrogant as you would imagine the Antichrist to be.
Right. In Revelation 11:8, we know that the Antichrist is going to be Jewish. And a lot of the research I've read, Matt, says that Trump is Jewish, that he is a member of the Chabad Lubavitch. Dr. Henry Macko has flat out said mm-hmm. that he's a crypto Jew.
And that could be. I know he attended a memorial for Rabbi Schneerson a year ago or so. He's worn the kippah. He's visited the wall. He definitely is pro-Israel. And as Tucker Carlson said just this week, there's a new religion in America called Israelism, and Trump is definitely all about that. As you and I have talked before, it's not M-A-G-A, it's M-I-G-A, and there's no doubt about that. And but I'm just not ready to say that I think he's the man of sin, but I do think that Trump is definitely paving the way.
You know, there are so many signs that point to it, but as I said at the beginning of this program, anybody can be an Antichrist. I mean, Schneerson, Bibi Netanyahu. Yep. There are so many that hate Christ.
Sure. I would say that the Antichrist, in my opinion, is going to be more convincing than even Trump. It says in chapter 13 of Revelation that he looked like a lamb, but he spake like as a dragon. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. I think that the Antichrist will be more sophisticated, more suave, more convincing, more Christians will, or quote unquote Christians will be swallowed up by his charisma. I think that Trump isn't polished enough or isn't clean enough on the outside to be the Antichrist. I think the Antichrist will be Jewish. I do think that, but I think he'll be so wonderful that not just some of us, but many of the world will be enamored by him.
You know, I completely agree with that, Matt, because, and honestly, you've just painted a picture that is, it's downright scary when you consider
sure.
how eloquent Trump is. And he's crass. Don't get me wrong. He is vulgar. He's profane. Sure. He is crass and he is self-absorbed, but
sure.
he's talked so many people into buying his Make America Great mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got such support. But honestly, if you look at the evangelical side of his base, they're rabid.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for those of us who are not pro Israel or in love with Israel, Trump is getting away with murder literally and war literally because he's doing everything for Israel. And so the evangelicals don't care if he's immoral. They don't care if he's in the Epstein files. They don't care if he does blasphemous things or even posts pictures of himself on the media, social media, as if he was Christ. I think it was a test run. I think that image was kind of a test run to see what kind of reaction it would get.
Interesting. It's quite possible. I saw an article today. It was on Breitbart that Trump is going to read some lines from the Bible.
Right now. In fact, I think it's happening right now while you and I are talking. And I agreed with what someone said, and I even kind of borrowed from it. We don't need leaders to read the Bible. We need leaders that live the Bible. And there's nothing more of a mockery than just having these politicians who are liars and hypocrites reading the Word of God, but having no sincerity in it. Jesus even talked about those who honor him with their mouth, with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And that's what we have. And I see pastors that I know that continue to defend Trump and even call it 3D chess or 6D chess or whatever. And just, it doesn't matter. It's Trump. Now, if it was Clinton or if it was Obama or Biden, those same pastors would have blown a gasket at that same picture that was posted. But because it was Trump, they are hypocrites. And I'm calling out the pastors more than I am Trump on the whole thing. Because these Christians that are looking the other way and doing a 180 and being hypocritical about it, to me, are the real story. That's the most irksome thing. And that's how this Antichrist is going to come on, is there's going to just be enough people that just don't know or care about what the truth is. They just have their own truth. It's easier to fool people than convince them they've been fooled. And people can't admit that their darling Republican is really not what they thought he was. And it's amazing to me to watch how the media can still spin everything in spite of what's going on. And I can just see the Antichrist has come on the scene and the media finally in complete control of the Zionist regime. And we no longer really have freedom of speech. And I think that's how the Antichrist will be able to take over, because he will completely control the narrative. But we're seeing a greater control of the narrative than we've ever seen before. There's no doubt about that. I do not listen to Fox News and haven't for a long time. And I don't recommend people listen to Fox News, because even if I'm a conservative and might agree with what they have to say, they don't tell you the whole story either. And they're so much in the tank with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Zionists that I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'd rather listen to the people that used to be on Fox News, like Clayton Morris or Tucker Carlson or Megyn Kelly and some of the others.
I'm laughing because we're in the same boat. I can't stand the people that are on Fox. I don't watch any of the controlled media because everything is slanted one way or the other. And the fact that it's, we labeled it controlled media because that's what it is. They are paving the way for utter acceptance in the Antichrist.
Well, did you see this girl? I think she's 21 years old in Florida, and she was on social media with her friends, and they were joking and laughing about bombing a certain building because I guess there was something going on maybe with college that they weren't really wanting to do. And so they were just kind of making fun. And she said something about Bibi Netanyahu is going to send some bonbons to the building. And that got to the authorities, and she ended up in court a couple of days ago, and the judge said, it's too bad you're not going to finish college, and they're going to give her 15 years. And the judge happens to be a female Jew, and this girl's going to get 15 years sentence for what she was posting on social media as a joke. So, you know, pretty soon you and I won't even be able to have this broadcast or to take this subject to the air because it will be in violation of the new freedom of speech.
I wasn't aware of that, but that is coming down the pike. It really
is. It just happened this week. Yeah. Yeah. I just saw it yesterday. There's so much stuff happening so fast. It's hard to keep up with all the news, but this just happened this week. This girl in Florida.
Wow.
And what she said was stupid, but it wasn't, you know, people should understand the difference between joking and then also remembering freedom of speech. Where do you draw the line on that? And is it because she said something about Bibi Netanyahu? Is that what it was? You know, so it's interesting. There's a real battle in Florida right now for their future as well. I know that Fishback seems to be a good guy, but there's a real struggle for the Zionist control in Florida.
You know, when Ron DeSantis flew to Israel to meet with members of Bibi's entourage, cabinet, whatever he met with, and he brought back a lot of Israeli investment in Florida. Mm-hmm. That pretty much told me that Florida was bought and paid for.
Yep. And one by one, I think there's 40 states now that have some laws against any kind of anti-Semitism, as they refer to it, their new definition of it. And so if you want a state contract, government contract, but if they can find some anti-Semitic behavior or speech online about you, that will void your contract. You can't have a government contract.
I know I've talked with Ted Pike in the past, and they are really, with that definition you mentioned, they are really pushing hate speech laws on the federal level. And you know, these planners start, Matt, they start at the local small government level, and then it goes to the state. And they build a consensus, and then they can enact their grand plan. I mean, honestly, how much longer do we have before the Noahide laws take over?
Right. And I don't know what the initials are. Maybe you do IH or A. Anyway, it's the new definition of anti-Semitism. And basically, it basically says the Bible is anti-Semitic, really. And they tried to push it through Congress and certain ones, representatives, and this makes the Bible illegal. I think Matt Gaetz or some others pointed that out. Marjorie Greene, she finally had enough and she stepped aside, but she was a defender of free speech. And Massey he's being challenged, and Trump acts like Massey's the worst person in America. And probably because Massey is pushing for the Epstein files to be released. It's amazing that Trump can talk terrible about Massey as if he's a terrible American and then say glowing things about Lindsey Graham. And so you can see who's running the country, who bought and paid for the country, who has bought and paid for the most influence. And that is Zionism. And that is the Zionist agenda. And I wrote a book 11 years ago, as you know, and so it's, it's not a huge surprise to see it happen, but even I am amazed at how fast things are unraveling. I'm just floored at the complete 180 that Trump has done on everything he said he was going to do 2 years ago. And it's just, especially since we can easily go back in the internet and look at all the things that he promised or said he was going to do. And it's a complete 180. And this Iran conflict we're in has nothing to do for the benefit of America. There's nothing good that's coming for America with this. We've already spent billions of dollars and American lives, and it's all about Israel, and everybody knows it.
I would like to think everybody knows it, but there are so many who have been deceived. And
yeah,
the ones who know, Matt, that have read your book and have followed this ministry for 20 plus years when Tech started exposing the Zionist movement, we know about the Greater Israel Project, and we know that they want to go all the way up into Iran, part of Iraq, and everything sure. in between.
But what I mean, Jerry, is even the ones who know it, but they're still pro-Zionist, so they don't care. You remember the interview with Tucker Carlson and Mike Huckabee 2 months ago, and Tucker said, what about Greater Israel? What if they want to push these borders and expand these borders in other countries? And Huckabee said, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, let them.
So, yeah, they know that's the agenda, and they don't care because Israel deserves it. Israel has the right. And some of these people quietly don't really care about America as much as they do Israel. I think Ted Cruz has proved that. I think Chuck Schumer has proved that. I think Huckabee has proved that. That Huckabee is really an ambassador for Israel to America, not the other way around.
Oh, yeah. 100%. He is such a Zionist honk. But, you know, I wrote about this months ago, sometime last year maybe, about Trump's cabinet being 100% pro-Zionist.
Sure.
And the fact that we have partaken and basically taken over the conflict in Iran, which benefits nobody but Israel. The mm-hmm. fact that, and you brought up Thomas Massie, that poor guy. If you want to talk about make America great, Thomas Massie is the poster child.
Absolutely. Thomas Massie is everything you would ask an American patriot to be. The guy is brilliant. He has patents. He has invented things. He farms. He's just what you would imagine as a good old fashioned American. And he's intelligent and he pays attention. And I don't even know if he's a born again Christian or not, but he certainly is respectable. And to see the president say such terrible things about him and then turn around and praise Lindsey Graham, who probably is a flake, and it's just shocking. It's just mind blowing to see that hypocrisy and for Trump to then spit on and to say terrible things just this past week about Joe Kent. Trump on social media posted and said that, you know, Joe Kent's wife was killed and then he got remarried. Seems like he got remarried kind of quick there. That looked a little suspicious. And it's like, Trump, dude, you're on wife number three and you've lied to all three of your wives and cheated on all three of your wives, and you're ridiculing Joe Kent for his morality? Oh, my.
I had a clip from the interview with Joe Kent and Tucker on my show, and it speaks volumes to how bad we are controlled.
Yep.
And the fact that so many so-called Christians will believe lock, stock, and barrel that everything Trump does is to benefit this country and Israel deserves to have whatever it wants. There's no reconciling it with what we're taught in the Bible, Matt.
Right. And so what you're seeing is people who don't really think, who don't really know what's going on. They just listen to their media. They listen to whatever Fox News or talk radio is saying, and they don't really know. And it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter if Trump is throwing out expletives, you know, on camera, and if he is paying off Stormy Daniels and all these other whatever escapades, he's God's man. He stands for Israel. He's reading the Bible tonight. And so they're just mindless robots. And that's why we're talking about Antichrist, because that's exactly what it's going to be like. Only it's going to be the majority both sides. It's going to be everybody. And only the Christians, truly Bible believers, are going to say, no, I'm not going for this. And we'll be in the minority. And those will be turbulent times for sure. But it just is a wake up call to see what is happening. And, you know, I wasn't really a Charlie Kirk follower, but Charlie Kirk was figuring things out, and Charlie Kirk was calling out the hypocrites, and Charlie Kirk was saying things about the Zionist agenda and the pro-Israel lobby, and he was turning money down, and he was, you know, telling Netanyahu to, you know, I'm not interested. And boom, Charlie Kirk's dead. And now I believe Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA is being overtaken and hijacked. I don't trust Erica as far as I could throw her, nor the team that's running that place now.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I had seen clips of Charlie. I have never been a TPUSA follower, member, none of that.
Right.
But I've seen clips, and he was very well-spoken. Charlie could have been president of this country because...
I think so.
Because he had a quick mind, he was well-read, and he could diffuse some of the most hateful people that got a microphone in front of him and tried to attack him. And he used reason and forethought to explain why they were mistaken, what we need to do to make it better. And they walked away from, they may not have agreed 100% with Charlie, but they at least walked away from the microphone thinking. And and when he started coming out and exposing that he could not support Israel, that he could not take money from the Jewish bankers that wanted to support TPUSA, he became expendable. He was a liability for their agenda.
He even mentioned a month ago before his murder, I think it was on Megyn Kelly's show, that I've got a target on me now. And I know you could just tell he was feeling it. And a year ago, last April, he was saying, we do not need to have a conflict with Iran. Before the first time, before last summer, when we supposedly bombed all their nuclear facilities and ruined everything and wiped out everything, right? So we were told that last summer, but Charlie was against that, and he was correct for being against it. And so they had to get Charlie out of the way. I don't believe the lone gunman story. That somebody knew that Charlie had to go. His influence was too great. And you're right. I think down the road, barring an assassination, Charlie probably would have been a presidential nominee.
He was so eloquent and so persuasive.
Sure.
And even though I didn't follow him, the clips that I saw, it drew me towards him because he seemed to be one of the few that were willing to tell the truth, the complete truth.
Sure. I do think that Charlie made a few mistakes. I think he surrounded himself with, and probably money was part of the motive, but the people working around him and for him weren't necessarily on the same page as he was. I'm sure, you know, the money was good, but towards the end, he was turning down Zionist money. But he surrounded himself with some people that I think are very suspect. And then I don't think he married very well. I think that was a big mistake in his life too. But anyway, I just mentioned Charlie because Charlie definitely had a lot to do with Trump being elected this last time. The young people vote and just motivating the young people. And he was popular and he was liked because he seemed to be fair and balanced. But when he started to notice the Zionist issue and he started to recognize how many of our American young people are not pro-Israel, and he started asking them questions, and they started making sense to him, and he realized, boy, these young people are thinking, and why do we spend so much time and money on Israel, and what do we get for it? I think all of a sudden that's when somebody said, this guy's got to go.
Yeah, after his session in the Hamptons with the Zionist bankers, and he refused to back down, that was when he had the target put on his back.
I think so, yeah.
So the reach he had with the youth was beginning, and you can see it now. There are so many people that, even though they probably couldn't find Palestine on a map, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are vehemently opposed to the genocide that's going on, and they have become expendable as well. I mean, Netanyahu has said that Christians are useful idiots because.
He doesn't respect Christianity, but he certainly uses it.
He's probably danced a jig as soon as Trump put Huckabee in as the ambassador, because there's his big puppet.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's all a big show, and Huckabee doesn't dare talk about Jesus. I was scheduled to go on a tour of Israel just last week and before the conflict started, and the tour was canceled. But it was interesting. We were told, now be careful, don't wear shirts that talk about Jesus. And I'm like, wow, this is supposed to be a Bible believers tour, but you know, the word Jesus will offend them, you know? So it's probably good that I didn't go, because I probably would have got myself in trouble.
Right. You could have handed out New Testaments and they would have thrown in the gulag for sure.
Speaking of Israel, I just read this today in the news. It's just a couple days old, but this June, just 2 months from now, of course, will be Pride Month. And Tel Aviv, of course, is the gay pride capital of the world. But this year, they're going to have a pride festival, 4-day pride festival held at the Dead Sea. Now, the irony of that is the Dead Sea is the location of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Hmm.
So you talk about not learning from history. These sodomites are going to party at Sodom. Sodom is now covered with a salty sea called the Dead Sea. And it's going to be a 4-day festival in June. And nobody apparently sees the irony of this, or maybe that this might not be such a good idea. But yeah, I just read that today. June 1 through June 4.
Wow. The craziness that is out there, Matt, it flabbergasts me that they would even, I know Tel Aviv is the gay capital of the world and the sodomites are rampant over there and they celebrate it. But honestly, Matt, what better place for the sodomites to party for 4 days than Sodom?
Yeah. That certainly is an in your face moment. And, you just can't help but wonder, what the Lord thinks, or what's on his agenda, what's on his calendar for that week.
Right. You know, the irony is not lost on me. I find it quite humorous. The lambastfulness of pulling something like this off.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. My book, you know, I believe that Israel is, in the end, she is the whore of Babylon, the mother of harlots. And so what do you expect when a people as a whole reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah? By default, what do you expect? By default, they become just darkness personified. They've rejected the light. So what else can they be but darkness?
Right. That's it. Well, we have flown through 30 minutes. My guest today is Pastor Matt First. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. We want to thank you for giving us some of your time. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about Pastor Matt First's outstanding book, Who is Israel? You know, Christians in America are a very sincere people, but they're unaware that many of their own trusted sources of information have been tainted. Satan is very clever. He knows he cannot fool a Bible-believing Christian because of an obvious error. So he will infiltrate and he will modify. He will add to. And instead of trying to get Christians to let go of their Bible, he simply sneaks modifications and word changes into their Bibles. And over time, Satan has succeeded in getting generations of Christians to trust what he has added more than what is actually in the true scriptures. And it has been detrimental to the Christian religion. Now, this book, Who is Israel?, presents readers with an outstanding account of who is Israel. Matt exposes the dispensationalists as Judaizers and explains they are directly opposed to the truths found in the Holy Bible. He reviews the undue influence held by Jews in America and explores the dark and dangerous future of the unholy Zionist lie. Have no doubt, this book has been labeled as a conspiracy theory, has been labeled unscholarly. Matt First has been called anti-Semitic. But the real reason behind the criticism of this outstanding book is because it exposes the fraud and faulty logic that has dominated airwaves. It has profited false teachers millions of dollars. The elephant in the room is Israel, everybody. You need to know what's about to happen in this world, and what a person believes about Israel will determine their view of end time events. Who is Israel? Yesterday, today, and forever. 348 pages. We're only asking $25 for this outstanding book, Who is Israel? Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $31. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in Canada and the United States at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, and we look forward to hearing from you. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can also use those charge cards on our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Who is Israel on our main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. You can send in a check, money order, or cash. Please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can send it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pastor Matt First. Pastor Matt, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. Good to be here.
Now, before we get into the second half of the program, I want you to give people your particulars so they can follow you on Twitter, get on your website, and all of the above.
So on Twitter, Pastor Matt Furs, F-U-R-S-E. On Facebook, there is Who is Israel? Of course, Pastor Matt Furs. Which One is Right is another Facebook page for my other book, Mountain View Baptist Church, Custer, South Dakota. Those are ways to find me. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I guess I have Instagram and what's that other one? Can't even think of it now. But yeah, I'm on social media and different ones.
Okay. Now, I do follow Pastor Matt on Twitter. I did not know you had an Insta. I haven't been able to get into Instagram, so I haven't done a lot.
I haven't either. There's that other one that people talk about, Substack is what I was thinking of. And I'm on it, but I really don't know much about it. So yeah, I do most of my posting through the Facebook pages and Twitter.
I love Substack because the people that you can support, whether financially or just signing up for their writings, they're truth tellers.
Yeah, there's good stuff on there. I just don't understand it, or I'm not as familiar with it as I am with the Facebook. And I just want to get stuff out quickly. I don't even have time to read everything right away. So sometimes I'll share it just so I can go back and read it myself, or you know, mark it a bookmark or something.
Right. I do the same thing. That's funny to me because, you know, I think sometimes I'm an outlier that I'm doing things totally off the beaten path that would drive other people nuts, but I bookmark stuff. I will copy a URL and email it to myself so that I can pull it up later. And because like you said at the beginning, Matt, there is so much happening and so much craziness that it's hard to keep up with.
Oh yeah. It's just like drinking out of a fire hose. And my job as a pastor and as a husband, I have things that I can't shirk my responsibilities from. So I have to be careful with my time. But fortunately for me, I have a lot of people that will send me things or, you know, tag me to something so that I can see it. And then I can go back and look at it. Like even this conversation we're having right now, I pulled up social media pages that I have just to remind myself of just the last 7 days and to see things that I already have forgotten that weren't that long ago because things are happening so fast.
That is so true. You know, when I do a radio show with an investigative reporter out of Indianapolis, Pat McShay, he is reading a lot of the same things that I am, but there is so much. And like the thing in Florida with the girl making a joke on social media, now looking at 15 years, I miss that. There are so much for us. Sure. And as a pastor, Matt, you're responsible for not only the well-being of your wife and your children, but the parishioners.
Sure.
That you right. have to be in the know.
Right. And we, you know, I'm a pastor first. I'm not an author first. I'm not a blogger. I'm a pastor. That's my first and foremost responsibility. And so I just, you know, I do this on the side. I don't golf. I don't, you know, so I kind of just, it's kind of interesting to me and it's never ending and there's always new material. And because not many pastors are even getting it or understanding it, and the ones that are understanding are too afraid maybe to talk about it, I just feel led to continue to pound this into their heads until they realize I'm not crazy. I'm actually motivated by scripture. And I'm also motivated as American to see what's happening to our own country because we have bought into this false concept that worshiping Israel is worshiping God, and it's not. And blessing Israel means we're blessing God, and we're not. And people are starting to wake up to it. They're starting to recognize it. And the evangelicals, the Southern Bible Belt crowd, are some of the hardest ones to crack because they're so stubborn and obstinate, assuming that what they believe is biblical, but it's not.
Right. You know, and we've talked about this in the past, and I'm going to say it again, but how many of those pastors in the Bible Belt in the South ever preach out of Galatians?
No, right. Exactly. And to just go through some of these things and to just take time to look at the big picture and to see it. But no, they're just mesmerized by the name Israel. Like one guy said, so if I named my son Jesus, would you bow down and worship him?
I'd probably call him Jesus. Yeah. I'm in Texas.
Yeah. So just because someone calls himself Israel, does that mean we're supposed to act like they're the biblical Israel? Just like as if that guy's son was the biblical Jesus? It's silly. Tucker Carlson asked Huckabee a couple months ago, how come they're not allowed to do DNA testing in Israel? Yeah.
Well,
how come that's illegal?
When he cornered Ted Cruz, it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Ted Cruz, I mean, Ted is still reeling from that. That interview last summer, Ted is still trying to recover. And Ted has been bitter towards Tucker ever since. But Ted dug his own grave. You know, Ted says, well, I don't know where it's at in the Bible. And Tucker said, it's in Genesis. You know? And Ted says in the same interview, well, my number one mission is to support Israel. And I'm thinking, I thought you were supposed to be a senator from Texas. I thought Texas was supposed to be your number one obligation.
Exactly.
But see, they're brainwashed to believe that supporting Israel is being right with God. Now, I don't think Ted Cruz is right with God on a lot of things. And I don't think Ted Cruz is very biblical. And I think really the motive behind Ted Cruz at this point is that his goose is cooked if he ever had an honest integrity moment like Tucker has and came out and said, you know what? I'm switching. I'm no longer pro-Israel. I think Ted would find himself in a similar situation as JFK did in Texas years ago. And I think Ted is bought and paid for and has received lots of dollars from AIPAC and others.
Yeah, I read a report about the amount of money that Ted has accepted from AIPAC. He's bought and paid for. There's no.
Yeah. But it's a sweet deal because you get all this money and they control you and they tie strings to you and you are their puppet. But then you can turn around and justify yourself in the public by saying, I support Israel. I stand with the people of God. And people aren't buying it. You know, people are saying that makes no sense. There's nothing that they are doing that benefits our country. And just today I saw it again and I couldn't help but respond. I saw some guy on Facebook say, if Israel were to lay down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. But if the Arabs would stop fighting and lay down their weapons, there would be no more war. And you hear that all the time. And I said it again today. I said, that's interesting. I guess you're admitting then that they really are not God's chosen people. Because if they were God's chosen people, he would send hornets or hailstones, or he would split the earth in half or divide the waters in half. God always protected his people. God didn't need foreign aid and weapons from other countries. God could protect his people just fine. So if you're admitting that they need our foreign aid and they need our help and they need carnal weapons in order to fight their battles, then you're admitting that God really isn't their God and they're not his people.
Beautiful. I'm sitting here smiling while you're telling me.
So how about we spend the next 80 years? Let's just do an experiment. Since the last 80 years, we funded them heavily. The next 80 years, let's just pull all the funding back and let's just pull all the military back and let's just take care of America, the 50 United States. Let's just spend all that money on America and let's just focus on us for the next 80 years. After all, they're God's chosen people. He'll take care of them. We don't have to be the ones. God can handle that, right? They're God's chosen people. So let's just focus on ourselves for the next 80 years. And maybe make it easier to send the gospel around the world instead of bombs around the world. Let's just focus on what God would want us to do in other ways and see how things grow. No, they can't do that. Because if America was to pull back against Israel, Israel would fold in a heartbeat.
100%. You know, the comment is so idiotic. If the Arabs would lay down their arms, there would be peace. That's because the genocide would be, it's like being in a gun-free zone, Matt. It's a target-rich environment.
Right. Yeah. The people who don't know Christ, evil people, their solution to peace is to kill everyone. Even President Trump. We're going to annihilate Iran. We're just going to bomb them and annihilate them. This is just a horrible thing to hear a president say something like that about any people.
How do you, if our job, if you're a Christian, our job is to teach the non-believers about Jesus. So
Absolutely. Bombing
them into annihilation sentences them to hell forever, eternity. There is no saving this people.
And then my evangelical friends will say, but they killed 40,000 of their own people, protesters, innocent protesters. Well, first of all, who told you that? How can you even prove that? Fox News told you that? The president, the man who has lied to all three of his wives and cheated on all three of his wives, you trusting him with that number? Who told you that there really were 40,000 innocent protesters in Iran killed? But even if there was, did you know that we're now up to 70 million innocent Americans that have been killed in abortion clinics?
Amen.
So why doesn't Iran bomb every abortion clinic in America? Based on the logic, don't they have the moral right to bomb our abortion clinics? And then just a few days ago, there were two pervert gay men, sodomite men. One of them is a Grammy Award winner, and they posted this video of their baby that they bought. They paid for this surrogate baby. They bought their own son. He's now 5 months old, and you probably saw this video.
I did.
And they're saying, say dada, and the little boy says, mama, and no, we don't have a mama here, and they're chuckling and laughing. No mama here. And the boy starts crying, and they think it's just really funny, and they post it on social media. And so that makes its way around a few days ago. And I posted that, I shared it, and I said, if this were in Iran, these two perverted men would have already been executed. But unfortunately, this is the godless, satanic United States of America.
Amen.
We're brainwashed to think that Iran is evil and immoral and we're good and white and clean. There's a reason why they call us the Great Satan. We're not better than them. I'm not saying Iran is Christian, but our president said, well, they execute gays. Guess what? I can actually find that in the Old Testament. Up until about 1962, we had sodomy laws in our states.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't execution laws, but we had laws against sodomy. Now we have two sodomites openly bragging and flaunting their surrogate baby.
Yeah. I've posed this question countless times, Matt. How can anybody that is a Christ believer say God bless America?
I think he did at one time,
but today it's
very presumptuous to assume we can tell God to bless us. The proper thing to say is, America, please bless God.
Amen.
Not bless Israel, bless God.
Amen. We have gone so far down. It's just sickening to me, Matt, to see the depravity. You know, when the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, they're legislating from the bench again, just like they did in Roe v. Wade, legalizing gay marriage. They have written off all the sodomite laws. And I don't know. I thought Texas was one of the first cases where the sodomite laws were ruled unconstitutional and thrown out. But, you know, you want to talk about the downfall of this country. When we got away from God and we started the hubris of man, Sandra's favorite word is hubris, the hubris of man that we know better than God, that we need to take care of these things. And that video that you mentioned, I saw it, made my stomach turn, and I just wanted to reach out and snag that baby and actually put it in a home where it should be with a mother and a father.
You talk about an innocent life being subjected to filth and wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
This is where America is going. And it's not because God's blessing America, and it's not because we're blessing God by blessing Israel. It's the opposite is the reason why. And you embrace a nation who is now going to celebrate their gay pride at the Dead Sea this year. You embrace that nation as your ally, and you embrace their Hollywood that they own, and you swallow the media that they run, and you praise and worship the politicians that they bought and paid for, you get what you deserve. And our Bill of Rights were given to us so that we could have a freedom of religion, to exercise the ability to be the lighthouse for the world by sending missionaries around the world, and being the greatest Christian nation and the lighthouse to the world. And we were a blessing to the world. And there was a time when Americans could travel the globe and they were looked up to just because they were American. But today, I think most of the world is not nearly as impressed with America as they used to be, and they shouldn't be.
100%. I could not agree with you more. You know, I began the program and I posited the question that Trump could be the Antichrist. But even if he isn't, he is definitely knocking barriers out of the way with his actions.
Absolutely.
That will precipitate a much easier and a much more readily acceptable Antichrist. And
yep.
The problem is, you know, we've got politicians, and you and I talked about this at the break. Tex did a program, Should Christians Be in Politics? And Tex was adamant in saying, yes, Christians should be in politics. And I think, Matt, if there were more true, blood-bought, born-again Christians in Congress, in the White House, that a lot of this pro-Zionist garbage would be decimated, don't you think?
Well, and absolutely. I mean, I think true Bible-believing Christians, and that's what our founding fathers intended. I mean, John Adams said that our Constitution was written for moral and religious people, and it's completely inadequate for any other people. And we're seeing that played out in front of us because we are not a moral and religious people. However, what happened is over the years is that those leaders or those elected officials who were quote unquote Christian, a lot of them were only Christian in name only, very superficial. Your Ted Cruz types don't even know where it is in the Bible, but they say they believe it. And so then you have the Christian Zionism, where the Christians who were getting elected, yes, they were Christian and they were Bible believers, but they also were brainwashed in the dispensational way. And so you had a lot of dispensational Christians that were allowing a lot of this Zionism without even realizing what they were doing. The Trojan horse was being led in. And so at this point, you have many representatives who have pro-Israel or Israel flags outside their office door, and they don't even realize that they're dual in their loyalty instead of just to America. And so, yeah, we're seeing a Trojan horse takeover through the Zionism, through Israel. You know, well, Israel's in the Bible, so of course I believe the Bible. No, not this Israel. This isn't the true Israel. Jesus is the original Israel, and those who are in him are the true Israel of God, not a people who claim to be descendants of Abraham, but have no interest in the new birth and have no interest in Christ and have completely forgotten that Galatians chapter 3 is in the Bible, or chapter 4, and the concept of being in Christ, then are you children of Abraham? And so, yeah, they're quote unquote Christian, but they're not well versed. And most pastors and most people aren't even clear about what we're even talking about. They just never stop to consider what Galatians 3 and 4 is saying. So it has been a slow takeover to the point now where we are just surrounded by a bunch of superficial Christians who are a mile wide and an inch deep and who have no real depth in biblical knowledge. And so we're seeing this happening, and it is a takeover of our country. But you're right. We should be in politics. And our church in our little town of Custer, South Dakota, we try to stay with our ear close to the ground to hear what's going on in the politics around us. As a matter of fact, this is just ironic. It's just happenstance, but the governor of South Dakota was in our service on Sunday. It was a surprise, but apparently his wife wanted to go to a Baptist church while they were visiting Custer, and in they came. And we love our local politicians. We want to support them. We want to visit them in the Capitol. We want to know what's going on and keep our ear close to the ground to make sure we're paying attention, because America is supposed to be a grassroots concept where we, the people, hold our representatives' feet to the fire. But what happens is the media convinces us that everyone's doing wonderful and everything's going fine, and we believe the speeches instead of paying attention to the actions. And years ago, I stopped listening to the State of the Union address. And I told people the reason why is because I'm tired of hearing a speech that has nothing to do with what he's actually going to do later.
100%. 100%. That's awesome that your governor came to your church. Hopefully.
It is. He was lieutenant governor when Kristi Noem was governor. And so he stepped in when she left. And he is currently the governor. He's up for reelection, and there's going to be a primary in a couple months. And I'm not even sure he's going to win. There might even be a better choice out there than him. But it's pretty cool that your governor comes to a Baptist church when he's on vacation.
Exactly. Which emphasizes the point that true Christians need to be involved in politics. Because
correct.
If he is in you, you're not going to bend over and take money from the ground in front of AIPAC. You're not going to kiss their shoes. You're not going to wash their feet. You're going to be mindful, first and foremost, that living a biblical life is the only way to live.
Absolutely.
And you're going to do things that biblically make sense and support our mission.
Well, and you know, a lot of it is the church itself. The churches have weakened, and as the church house goes, so goes the White House.
Mm-hmm.
It starts in the church houses. And so as the churches don't flame with righteousness and the pulpits don't flame with righteousness and there isn't godliness, you know, in our churches, it permeates the culture. We are a grassroots nation. That's how we were set up. And so if we, the people, are carnal and we are mesmerized by Hollywood and we are lethargic and we don't read our Bibles, except for maybe this week when we do a little public show, but we don't daily read our Bibles and we're not really knowing what the scriptures say, then we get what we deserve. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And here we have information at our fingertips, and yet most of us don't even know what's going on in our own local governments, our state governments, or the world. And we allow Fox News or someone else to tell us their slant on it without investigating it for ourselves and finding out what's really happening. And like I said, we're suckers for believing a great speech instead of really watching the action to see if it matches the speech.
100%. You know, Donald Trump may not be the Antichrist, but he is an Antichrist. And you can see it in his actions all the time. And the best word of advice I can give to our listeners comes from 1 John 4:1. We have to try the spirits. Be ever Amen. Vigilant and don't be deceived. Matt, we have run out of time, but I want to thank you, brother, for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy. I appreciate it so much.
It's always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed day, and I will talk to you again soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. That's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pastor Matt Furze. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.